Take your Bibles quickly. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. You can tell when preachers are reading through the Bible in a year, you can tell where they're at by their messages in the mornings. Preacher is in right around where I'm at too. And it's fun. You read through the scriptures and you see things that you've never seen before. And you get to preach messages you've never preached before. And this is no different. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, if you stand with me, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you for coming back tonight. A lot of folks are here that haven't been here in a long time. I'm sorry you're not hearing the preacher tonight. But I'm going to do my dead level best to preach what the Lord wants me to. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." Let us pray. Dear Lord, please. Lord, there's so many things in my heart right now that I want to say, that I want to get out as quickly as I possibly can. Lord, please help me. Help me to just preach what's in my heart that you would have me to preach, not the things that I would want to come out of my mouth, but what you would want, Lord, always is my prayer. I want to decrease, and I want you to increase in a very special way tonight. So, Lord, help us. Help us to seek your face tonight in a way that we just very seldom do. Lord, please be with me, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to work this a little backwards. I actually read you the finish line. Preachers, especially, they will come to points in their ministry, in their lives, where they maybe don't know what they want, maybe don't know what the future holds. If preachers would be honest, there's times when that does happen. There's times when there's something in their heart that they want so very badly that no matter what the circumstance, that's all they can think about. If you, on the other hand, would be honest with yourself, I believe that you could put yourself in that very same position, sometime in your life where there was something in your heart that you desired so very much, and maybe that you prayed for over and over and over and over and over and over, just didn't seem like the Lord was going to answer. I want to help you tonight. There is a place that's beyond prayer. I didn't see it until just yesterday. There's a place that's beyond prayer. Now, prayer is very powerful. I believe that it's our way of being able to fellowship with God the best we can. I believe it is our way of being able to talk to Him. And I believe we should be very specific in our desires. I believe we should be very specific in the prayers that we pray to God, in so much that we were talking to God not necessarily as just the Almighty, but as close as a friend. See, a lot of people mess up with it when they pray to God. They try to use words that they just would not normally use. They try to speak to Him on a level that is only His. You got to understand, the Lord created Noah Webster. I'm fairly certain He knows the words. Yeah. God doesn't want to talk to you on His level. God wants to talk to you on yours.
Yes.
And a lot of times we will pray and we will ask God for things. And I've thought about the last few years that we have. It's not that we've been wandering in the wilderness, but the last few years, and I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, I believe the Lord has worked this out as He would have it to work out. With our building, the processes that we went through, I don't believe that our preacher was ever misguided. I believe he was very guided. Oh, we might sit back and say with our 20/20 goggles on that, you know, maybe we should have done a few things different. No, I believe that the preacher did exactly what God told him to do, and I believe this is exactly the way God would have it to be. I think we need to get that in our hearts sometimes when we look for our own desires and we look for that place where we can sit back and use hindsight. I believe sometimes we need to take our desires and understand that whatever our desires are, we must support our preacher. Whatever our thoughts are, whatever our convictions are at that very moment, we must support our man of God. I'm the associate pastor here. I'm not the pastor here. One thing that's hard for a lot of associate pastors to understand is that they're not the pastor. A lot of times it comes to the point where you believe that you may have it a little bit more on the ball than the pastor does. One thing that I've learned hard, with very hard lessons these last years is that, man, he just knows more than I do. Boy, that drives you nuts, man. You start to learn things. You start to get, you thought, man, I think I got a grasp on this. Yeah, he just knows more. He's just been more places. And I think when you can settle in as a church member and understand this, there's some things that you do not see because the Lord doesn't give you the vision. The Lord gives the vision to him. He passes that to you. Do you understand? Did you hear me? Okay. That being said, there is a place beyond prayer. Now, when we get to the point in our lives where we are desiring something so very badly, like you're desiring to have that child, I want to talk to you about a lady that was in that very spot. And I'm going to be honest with you, there's things in my heart that I desire, oh, I want so badly. I've prayed about them so many times. And by the way, I got to believe in my heart that you can't have more than just one or two things in your life that you just desire. That is one of those things you just desire so badly to have. I got to believe that every one of us has maybe one, maybe two of those things. Or you can just put a tack in it and say, that's what I really desire. And I'm sure they're different for every one of us. This lady I'm going to talk to you tonight about is Hannah. What a wonderful lady. Yeah. Hannah had a problem. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, 1 through 5, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and Ephrathite. I'm not doing that again. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the other Penina. And Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. There's her problem. The problem is she wanted to have kids. She wanted so badly to be able to give Elkanah, her husband, she wanted so badly to give him children. She prayed over and over. We read this. I'm not going to take the time to read all this, but she prays over and over. And I promise you, in this chapter, although it doesn't say that she prayed over and over again, I promise you, she prayed. I promise. I know by reading those between the lines, I can see the prayers that she lifted up to God year after year, going to this holy place, year after year, with this other woman that was with her. This other woman had no problem having kids. Lord, why are you giving this to her and not to me? Can you hear her prayers? Can you hear the prayers of this woman over and over again? Lord, Lord, all I want is a child. Lord, why can't you just give that to me? All I want to do is give a son to my husband. That's all. Because back in those days, you had to be able to bear sons. I mean, that was looked upon as strength to the man if he could produce sons. And if the wife wasn't producing sons, it was hard to be loved by the husband. That's just where it was at. Elkanah was a wonderful husband. He loved her. He gave her portion to her, a generous portion. When it came time to be getting things, and Penina got her portion, and all of her children got their portion, but Hannah, she got her portion, and Elkanah said, aren't I as good to you as 10 sons? But she wanted to give him a son. She wanted that so badly. Can you think of something in your life right now that you just want so badly? Yet the Lord just hasn't seemed to give it to you yet. I know I've spoke with Rod and Debbie many occasions. And on their heart, I know this to be true, they want so badly to be full-time to where they're only in evangelism. That's what they do. That's their heart's desire. I promise you, knowing them, that over and over and over again in their ministry in the last few years, over and over, by the way, isn't that amazing how long it's been? Glory to God. Over and over and over and over and over they've prayed. I promise you they've done this. I promise you they've prayed that desire to want to be used of God in a special way. And I hope that that's your prayer too. I hope that you desire to be used. Maybe not full time, but in any way that it's possible for you. I really hope you pray that. But if that's not your one desire, I'm sure that there's something that you've prayed about. And it gets to a point in your life and in her life, You can see it as you're reading the scriptures. Boy, she began to give up hope. You know, I just don't know if I've offered up prayers to you over and over again. Lord, I've talked to you over and over again. Lord, I know this is what I'm supposed to do. But Lord, why haven't you come down and given me some kind of answer? Lord, why haven't you done something for me? Has anybody ever said that? She had an enemy. Peninnah treated her badly, made fun of her. She couldn't have kids, so that was her adversary. I read something out of that, though, and sometimes we take this too lightly. I want to stop here for a minute and tell you that, do you realize that your enemy is very, very real? And your enemy does not necessarily want to beat you into submission. Did you know that? The devil isn't necessarily concerned, Jimmy, that you are beat down into submission to where you end up worshiping him. The devil does not necessarily concern himself with who you worship, as long as this isn't God. The devil will let you get, the devil wants you to get away from God. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It could be something very good. I'm making a living for my family. That's why I'm out of church. I'm doing this, and there's nothing wrong with making a living for your family. There's nothing wrong with playing baseball, but there's something wrong with playing baseball on Wednesday. The devil will use that. You say, well, Brother Dave, now you're stepping on toes. Well, glory to God, move your feet back, Jack, because we've got an enemy, an adversary that's out there that's very real. The devil says, or the Lord teaches us that the devil is an arch counterfeiter. He wants so badly to be like Christ. So he does everything he can to be like him and hurt Christ's ministry all at the same time. What's the greatest way he can do that? Separate his children from God. That's what he wants to do. Maybe you can't lose your salvation. I'm not saying that. But you can stay away from God for a while. Right. And what he'll do is this. By the way, Brother Carey, we have a very personal Savior. Oh, I'm so thankful we've got a personal Savior. I'm so happy we're not lumped into one group. He's my Savior. Amen. I'm glad he's yours too, but he's my Savior. Amen. And it takes a lot to be my Savior. Yeah. Ooh. Where much is forgiven, there's much love. Man, I love him a lot. Did you know the devil wants to be just as personal to you as an enemy? Now, he can't be everywhere. He's not omnipresent, that old bugger. I'm glad he's not omnipresent too. Man, what a handful he'd be then. He's terrible. He's terrifying now. But he's real. And what he does is this. He picks the people that are good in church. You're sitting there real nice. You know what he's going to do? He's going to pick on you. He doesn't want you to hear what's going on right now. So he's going to send somebody over and do this to your ear. Get you bothered a little bit. Get you out of hand. So you're not paying attention to what's going on. He's a very real enemy. And what we're getting ready to do is something amazing. And by the way, something amazing is already happening. What's great is to be standing where I'm standing, watching lives change. I'm talking about lives in this church, not new ones. I'm thankful. Woo! Amen for the McDaniels getting saved. I love those folks. And we've been praying for them for years. And I love your daughter is something else. I'm going to tell you that right now. She is something else. And she's been around for a long, long time. And we've been praying for you for years. This is a real amen, hallelujah out of that. I mean, I'm thankful. But how thankful are you that real lives inside of this church, inside of our walls, that have been here for years are getting changed? How exciting is that? How exciting is it in my own heart? My own life is starting to get exciting. I mean, hey, you're a preacher. You ought to be excited all the time. We're just human. And it was hard to be excited for a long time. But isn't God good? He just dropped, kicked the devil out of here for a while. Let's lock the doors and let him stay out. What a very real enemy. What a very real enemy. You've been praying about that for a long time, Brother Brian. You've been praying for your desire for a long time. He's never going to give it to you. Quit praying. He's never going to give you your desire. How many times the devil told you that? How many times the devil told you, you're never going to recover, Annie? You're never going back to church. Don't even think about going back to church. You're not going back to church. You're too weak. There's nothing wrong with staying in for a few more weeks. Just stay in. You'll be fine. Glory to God anyhow. You came back anyways. Grandma Sue, I remember you telling me, I'm not sure I'll ever sing again. You've never sung prettier than you sang tonight. Amen. Kick the devil out of here. The thing is, we got to realize that we do face an enemy. And we've got to realize that also that there's a burning in our heart. If you're a saved person in here tonight, glory to God, there's got to be a burning in your heart somewhere to want to do something great for God. Even if it's tucked back away and the pilot's almost blown out, it's not out, it's still there. And Hannah wanted to do something wonderful. She wanted to do something that she's never been able to do, and that's have children. So I want you to see what happens. Apparently, prayer wasn't enough. Apparently, prayer wasn't enough. There was one step further. One step more. The title of the message tonight, Johnny, is It's Time to Pour. She was at a place, and I want you to see this. Hannah, verse 8. Why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? Why are you fasting? And why are you crying? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better than thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, and now Eli the priest, the preacher, sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she, now listen, I want you to hear this next verse. She was in bitterness of soul. Man, that's bad right there. When you are in bitterness of soul, you are in a place where prayer may not get you out. You're in a place where just idle words may not bring you out of that place. You are in a place where God has got to be summoned. When you are in a valley of a bitterness of your soul, there's not a microscope powerful enough to find that place. And that's where this lady was. And I would dare some say that some of you sometime, and maybe even tonight, are in that place. And Hannah says this. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. But then she changed her thinking. Now I want you to hold on to this. I think this is good stuff. She always wanted a son to give to her husband. I'd mentioned that. She wanted to be able to give a son to her husband. But then her thought changed. Her desire twisted. Her desire decided to be something that was not necessarily physical, but spiritual. Look at what she does. While she's praying, she vowed a vow. Said, O Lord of hosts, Mighty One, that's mighty. She's seeking someone in this bitterness of soul place that she's in right now. She's seeking God. If thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She was going to make him a Nazarite. Now there's codes that they had to follow. I'm not going to go into that tonight. She says, I'm going to give him unto the Lord. I am going to donate him. If you give him to me, I promise you, I swear to you, O God, in my bitterness of soul, in my anguish, this is my heart's desire to give a son to my husband. But if you're not going to give one to him, let me give one to you. How many of you would be willing to take your deepest desire and give it to God? This is what happens here. She takes her heart's desire and takes it from here and gives it to the Lord that can pull her out of the place that she's in. And it came to pass, glory to God, as she continued praying before the Lord, the preacher walked in. And Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. The preacher came and says, what's the matter with you? You drinking? And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. Get this. But have poured out my soul before the Lord. There's a day when she decided that prayer wasn't enough. She decided to take her innermost desire, and pour it at the feet of Almighty God. Have you ever been to a position where you had to pour yourself before God? Have you ever been in a position where you didn't see any way out? I've been there in my life several times. Man, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Hannah was in this place. She was tired. Have you ever been tired? Oh. This life gets to a point sometimes, and especially in this day and age. We're in the microwave age. Matter of fact, microwaves are running a little slow nowadays. People want everything right now. They want their lives to change now. They want their wealth now. They want their kids to grow up now. They want the stock market to come in now. They want their house to be built now. They want everything to be finished now. We've become a society where you've got 2 minutes and that's about all you've got. And Hannah was tired. Boy, I tell you. I've been to the spot in my life, Brother Gary, where I was certain I knew what God wanted, but he just wasn't giving it to me fast enough. You know, we talk about in God's own time. It preaches good, but boy, it's hard to live it, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know? Amen. It preaches good. Well, we're just going to wait on God, and when you go home, you're like, come on, Lord, what are you doing to me down here? I told these people I'd give an answer. Where's the answer? Our idle prayers sometimes never make it to the ears of Jesus, I believe. Sometimes he looks down at us. I just can't even imagine how God feels sometimes. I'm glad he doesn't step on us. Instead, he does his very, very, very best to pick us up and make us feel okay again. He brings us to a spot where we can be used again. I'm so thankful he uses us over and over and over. We fail so many times, but yet he continues to use us. What a wonderful lady Hannah was. I'm sure she spoke to the Lord over and over and over and over again, and this child finally came. The Lord gave her her answer, but she had to change her heart and take one step past prayer. There's a place that you can go that's past prayer. There's prayers that you can say to the Lord. You've got a sheet of paper in front of you. You blah, 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 just keep on going and rattle them off. And I believe that's good to have people in front of you and be praying for them. But there's a certain spot that you cannot just have with prayer. There's a certain spot that you've got to decide you're going to pour yourself before God. Lord, this is my desire, but I want my desire. My desire, if I delight in the Lord, you give me the desires of my heart. If I delight in the Lord, you give me the desires of my heart. The desires of my heart, Lord, are to do something great for you, whatever that may be. And she decided, you know what, I want to do something great for you in the raising of this man child, and I will give him to you if you'll just give him to me. And the Lord looks down and says, you know what, now you've got your heart in the right spot. Now you've got your mind in the right spot. Now let me see you pour over it one time. And she gets down and she pours herself before God in so much that the preacher walks in and thinks, man, that's a crazy woman right there. She must be drunk. Right. There's got to be a problem with her because her lips are moving down. It's coming out. What's the matter with her? The preacher walks in and says, hey, get up, drunk. I'm not drunk, preacher. I'm pouring myself out before God. Yes. I'm grabbing a hold of the horns of the altar tonight and I'm putting my petition before him. Do you realize that the Lord hears that? Man, I'm going to tell you, I thought about this. Tears. When do you have tears? Come on, think about that for a minute. When do you have tears? When your soul, can you feel it melt? I mean, I'm telling you, it just hit me tonight. Tears are a little of your soul leaking out. Yeah. Because I'm telling you, when you're, especially grown men, when you get to the point where you've got tears, your soul is coming out. Because men don't just cry, unless they're weirdos. It's all of a sudden, I'm not a big fan of guys just crying in the middle of nowhere. But if you get a man that's really crying, and you see the tears of that man, don't you know what's going on there? There's something in his heart that's just, oh man, it's just, he can't take it no more. He's in a place where only God can bring him out. He's in a place where he needs the Lord. I'm talking about a basketball loss. I'm talking about something real for God. Do you know why our tears dry up for souls? Because we don't pour ourselves out to God. It's not enough to just get down, young man. It's not enough to just get down on a knee and say, hey, Lord, Pete, I'd really like it if you'd give me a little bit more of a desire to save people. Lord, I'd really like it if you'd give me a greater desire to win souls. The Lord looks down and says, boy, you just really sound like you meant that. Lord, the Lord looks down and says, man, you know what? Boy, I'm just going to answer your prayer right now. That just sounded like something that you really meant. I'm not saying that you've got to be a babbling moron. But when's the last time you poured your soul out? When's the last time you poured your heart out before God? And you can't do, let me tell you something. You can't do that in the presence of other people. You can't. You can't. The only place you can do, and this is why most people never get to this place. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings tonight, but let me explain something to you. You don't make yourself look any better or any worse when you pray in front of people. The things that you say in front of people, and it's great to have a great vocabulary, but that doesn't make you look any better or any worse in front of God. Do you know where you worship God? When you're alone. You worship God when you're alone, and you decide in your heart that the most important thing I can be doing right now is having fellowship with Him. Not watching the ball game. Not worrying about what the lineup is for this week's batting order. Not worrying about where you're going to get dinner from. Not worrying about all those other things. And those are important. Please don't miss. I'm not knocking how important those things are. But when did God become less important? The Bible talks about a prayer closet. I believe Hannah was there. I believe she was in a place that only God was on her mind. TVs were shut off. Dishes were done. House was clean. Kids were in bed. That comes at about midnight at my house. Not the dishes and stuff, but kids going to bed. What we've got to understand is this. Preacher, would you agree that we've got some really big things in our future?
Yes.
I agree with that. And I would also think that you would agree with, this isn't coming fast enough. But do you know that God has a time?
Yes,
right.
And there's sometimes, I believe, now think about this with me. If we would have done this 3 years ago, would the spirit of this church be the same as it is today?
No.
Now, come on, use your heads a little bit. I tell my fifth and sixth graders this almost every day. No doubt about it. Use your brains for something other than telling yourself to breathe in and breathe out. Almost every day. And very seldom do they take my advice. Okay. If you think about it, I think the Lord has worked this out perfectly. I think the Lord has got exactly what He wants right at the very moment that He wanted it. Why? Because somebody, I don't know who it was, I don't care who it was, somebody poured themselves out before God and said, Lord, we cannot do this without You. We cannot take another step forward. Yes, I know I've come to You before in prayer, Lord, but this time it's different. This time, Lord, You're going to see the desires. I don't want this building for me or the furtherance of me. I want this building for the furtherance of You. And if You'll give me that, Lord, I promise You, I will lend myself to You and never come back. Did you ever think that that might be what He was waiting for? Not somebody to just go ahead and say, well, I'm going to make this the Richard Skiver, the Reverend Richard Skiver Memorial Sanctorium. I said this the last time I got to preach. Well, you know, it's sad. You don't hardly ever see a Jesus Christ Hallelujah auditorium. I'm thankful for Dr. Hiles, I'm thankful for Dr. Anderson. What a wonderful, those were great men. But who made them great? Focus that in. I would love somebody to drop $1 million in this church. But the more I got to thinking about it, the less I felt like they ought to get a name on a building. Because who gave them the million? That's crazy, isn't it? And I don't care what we do. I just want to get out there. I know that. But when is the last time we thought, God, I want to put You where You ought to be? Hannah did that. She wanted to give the kid to her husband. That's what she desired. make her look better. But you know what? We want to give the building not to him. I mean, I love my preacher, but we aren't building this for him.
Amen.
We aren't doing this for him. If we're doing this for him, pack it up. He's got a big enough building right here.
Right.
Slap his name on the side. Richard Skyver Church.
Amen.
We're not doing this for him.
Amen.
We're not doing this for you. We're doing this for God.
Yes.
And what's happened, I believe our hearts have changed and decided that no matter what, we're going to do something for God today. My question is, when in the world are we all going to get on that same page and say, you know what? I want to do something for God. And I'm not that worried about what everybody else thinks about it. We talked about why don't we have a choir? Because they don't want to do it for God.
Right.
Put your feet out one time. Come on. Put them out.
Yeah.
Fat boy will get up on a chair and jump on your feet. You put it out there. Why don't we have a choir? Because people don't want to commit. That's where it's at. Second reason people don't want to have a don't want to be in choir is because they don't want to have humility. What do you mean humility? I see your sour faces looking at me. You know why? You know why you won't? Because you feel it's more important for you to sing up here alone than you do to sing in a group. Wrap your head around that. Come on now. Why don't we have a choir? Because Brother Dave won't show up. When's Brother Dave ever missed a practice? When's Miss Rosie ever missed a practice? You think it's more important to stand behind this pulpit alone and sing than it is to sing in a group of people? Oh, well, they can't sing. That's why I don't want to be there. I got news for you. Nobody else can. You aren't that good either, Jocko. I'm quite sure that Hannah wasn't expecting God to give her a champion. Did you know that? Nowhere in there said, no, give me a champion for you. No, she just said, give me a son and I'll give him back. She didn't say, I want somebody that's going to be special in every Bible chapter, in every... No, she just said, you give me somebody I can use, and I'm going to give them to you.
Right.
You say, well, I'm not that good of a singer. You know what? Who cares?
Right.
Who cares? Just get in there anyways.
Right.
Get in there. I'm sick and tired of hearing people all the time. I got excuses why I can't come. Your only excuse is no commitment and no humility. There's where it's at.
Right.
No commitment, no humility. You want to take it anywhere up, just take it up with somebody else. Are we going to serve God? Are we going to decide to make our heart's desire the desire of God? To have God the Almighty have something? She had a problem. She prayed. It just didn't seem to fix it. She gave a promise. And then she poured herself out to God. What happened after she did that? Let's take a look. Then Eli answered. The preacher said, hey, verse 17, Eli answered her. She just said, hey, wait a minute. I'm not a drunken person. I'm not a daughter of Belial. That's the devil. Just trust me here. I'm talking to God. I'm pouring myself out before him. And Eli answered and said, go in peace. You know why she went in peace? Because her heart was right. Her heart was right. And the preacher let her know that God heard.
Yes.
And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. She said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat. And her countenance was no more sad. I mean, hey, we just read 6-8 verses ago where she was down in the dumps. Her soul was in bitterness. Her soul was in torment. She wasn't getting what she wanted. But you know what happened? She said she finally wanted what God wanted. So she got her heart to think what God might want. And then when she got her heart to think what God might want, what two things happened? She got peace and happiness.
Yeah.
When she found out what God wanted and realized, you know what, that's what I want too. Glory to God. Preacher, how would you feel if you had a church full of people that wanted what God wanted and was happy about it?
Amen.
Man. I don't have time for God. I don't make enough money working for God. Welcome to the ministry. See, folks, it's not about money here. It's not about accolades here. It's about serving God here.
Yes.
Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son. He said it would. And called him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice in Israel. But Hannah went not up. For she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned, then I will bring him in, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And then it skips. I'm just going to skip down to where I started, and I'm all done. She went through all these things. Now listen, I know some of you in here are going through some things right now that are brutal. I know that. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And by the way, I didn't prepare this message because I knew any of these things. I prepared this message because I believe this is what the Lord wanted me to tell you tonight. Not everybody is excited and happy. And not everybody in the future. Humans have ups and downs. It's unbelievable how crazy we get. But God says when you get to that place, when your soul is in bitterness, when your soul is in torment, when your soul is just, you just don't see a way out. Sometimes prayer's not enough. Pour yourself out to me. Seek my face. Seek me as the Almighty. Seek me as the Lord of hosts. Forget what you want and seek me. And when you seek me, you will go away in peace. Man, I tell you, how many would like to have just peace today? You would like to have no more sadness. And then look at chapter 2, verse 1. All this happens, and then when it does come to pass, and this is something that's been on my heart more in the last year than anything else. Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. When it does come to pass, realize the next verse says, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. That's a lot of mouthful right there, isn't it? Man, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a day in your life where the Lord's going to grant you a pouring out. He's going to give you a great victory over what you're going through. Remember this. When we get that building preacher, and I know I'm not afraid. He's my preacher. I know he's my father-in-law. I'll say it. I don't care. He's my preacher, but I know that this is how he's going to act. He's going to praise God. He's not going to say, I'm the pastor of Bethel Baptist Church. My name is Dr. Richard E. Skiver. I promise you, he will be humble. I promise you, he will be rejoicing in the Lord. I promise you that day, Bethel, this is where I want us to be. And I pray for this. I just have not arrived. I feel every day, the closer you get to God, the worse you realize you are. Man, it's tough. And I'm so far from having arrived, but I know this. That God is the reason for everything. By him all things consist. There's nothing we have apart from God. So when things do happen and the Lord gives them to us, I think we ought to remember that God has done it. Boy, the school's successful, Brother Dave. What did you do? I didn't do anything. I'm a moron. You don't have to agree with me right in front of me, Liz. Hey, I got no ability to do that. God did that. I've said that from the beginning. There's never been a difference. I've always said that God did that. Anything that happens in a school, God did that. I didn't do it. See, sometimes we give ourselves a little bit too good of a pat on the back. Sometimes we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And I know that there's sometimes we've got to reach this place where you just don't know how in the world you're going to get out. Where the Lord has just brought you low. He's brought you to a place that you can't even fathom how you're going to get out. Pride goeth before a fall. I wonder if sometimes pride doesn't get us there. Into a place of bitterness of soul. You can't even imagine. And then you pour yourself out before God. And God says, get up. Get up. It'll be okay. I'll take care of you. I've always provided for you. I'll continue to provide. I'm so thankful that you've turned your heart towards me, Bethel Baptist Church. Did you hear me? I'm so thankful, Bethel, that you've turned your heart back towards me. I'm so thankful that you decided to follow me. I'm so thankful. Can you hear him? Can you hear? Can you hear? Can you hear the Lord in those words? I'm so thankful, Bethel, that you've decided to get the water stirring again. I'm so thankful that you've decided to make an important thing in your lives to do my work again. I'm so thankful, Bethel, that you've decided to take that step of faith over to that land. I'm so thankful for that. Thank you, Bethel, for doing that. Thank you for turning your eyes. Thank you for doing the things that you're supposed to be doing. And I'm so thankful you've done those things. But Bethel, please remember, praise me. Praise my works, because they are mine. Praise what I have done, not what you have done. Do you realize that's why he's given us a small number of people? Because he wants to show us that he can do it without us, as long as we have faith in him. When there's a prayer that just doesn't seem to get answered, maybe it's time to pour. Maybe it's time to just embarrass yourself in front of God. Just you and him. Lord, this is all you get. You ever said that to God? This is all you get. I've got nothing. But Lord, you're going to have to use what I am, because I can't be anything else. And Lord, I'm going to give you credit for that, because if you do anything through me, I'm going to remember it was all you. I'm going to remember that it was all you. Pour yourselves out before God tonight. Let him have a hold of your heart. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for the opportunity to stand behind your pulpit. And Lord, I'm so thankful that I'm in a church and part of a church where so many people care about your work. Lord, please bless us. Bless us in the future out there at Infirmary Road. Lord, help us. Hold our hand. Lord, you lead us over there. Lord, lead us in thinking about you and in talking about you and praying to you and pouring to you. Lord, help us to understand that we're nothing without you. Lord, I'm so thankful that you are a patient God, willing to look at who we are, for what we are, and still want us no matter where we are. Lord, please bless us tonight. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you need to pour your heart out to God tonight. Maybe there's something that you'd like to come at this altar and talk to God about. Why don't you come right now? That's right. Just come. That's right. Just come. Just like him. I like what Brother David said. You know, Samuel, the son, was one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. But she didn't pray for a great prophet. She just prayed for a son that she'd give to God. You're here tonight, maybe you just need to ask God to save your soul. Maybe you like to trust Christ tonight. You could pour out your heart and say, "Dear Jesus, save me. Take me to heaven when I die." I did that years ago. Maybe you like to join the church tonight. Maybe you need to get baptized. I don't know.